taking the Lord's help, I venture to a reading, the 27th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and reading from verse 23 to verse 26. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and reading from verse 23 to 26. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, there must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, there must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. I did not know what to take for the text, and yet I trust it was the 24th verse that seemed to come to me in the dinner hour. And so it is a great venture to bring such a word as this before you. I may just say that many years ago I was preaching at Hurstbury Point Chapel, which is now closed. And it was from the 20th verse. And when neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But it was evidently the time when one felt to be in much darkness and much distress. But how wonderful it is when the Lord uses a word to the comfort and teaching and help and instruction of his people. And all scripture is given for reproof, for consolation, for teaching, or whatever it is. It is not here just, dear friends, as history. It is in the Word of God for the comfort and teaching of his people. Now, is it evident that Paul had to come before Caesar, and there was nothing that could prevent this? And where God has a purpose, there is nothing that can prevent it. But one would think that as you read this chapter, it would have been impossible for Paul to appear before Caesar. But it was that which was determined by God for Paul and for the Church of God. I think we read in the following chapter that he was 2 years. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That was predetermined of God, that for these 2 years he should be preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. But here we have this chapter, an unusual chapter in the Word of God speaking of this voyage, which evidently should not be taken. For Paul had warned there that it was dangerous, it should not be taken and so on, but nevertheless we read that he said here, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And it all seemed to be sailing well. The south wind blew, and everything was going well. But Paul had received that teaching that it would not be well. And so we read of the end of this, where some on pieces, broken pieces of the ship, some swam, but they all got safe to land. And how true it is, dear friends, that all God's chosen people will all get safely to land. Oh, is it not our concern oft as to whether we shall get safe to land, whether we shall get into that harbour, as we read in Psalm 107, then he brought them safe to land into that harbour. After many tossings and turnings, after many troubles, in that 107th Psalm, we read they go down into the depths and then up to the heights, and their soul is melted because of trouble. Oh, it is a mercy, dear friends, if our soul should be melted even because of trouble, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them safely to land. And here we have this vessel breaking up, and all the wheat, the precious cargo that it had, and all had to be thrown into the sea. Oh, how it teaches, dear friends, that that verse of the hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. And friends, if we are taught of God, so we should be brought there. After all those things had to be cast out, and so they were all safely brought to hand. And Paul was, they were favoured to have Paul in the ship because he cheered them, he comforted them. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So this is a most unusual a part of God's word, of God's divine providence over Paul and over the ship and all the prisoners. Remember, they were prisoners guilty of some crime. And yet Paul had to be, was amongst them. He was not guilty of any crime, that he preached the word of God. And we find today, dear friends, sadly in our land, that those who would preach the gospel, those who are outspoken for the word of God, are almost branded as criminals. Oh, what a sad place we're in. But what a mercy to hear that Paul was there. And it was the angel of God that we read here. He said, there stood by me this night an angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. What a mercy if it could be said of each one of us, whose I am and whose I and whom I serve. And he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Oh, what a mercy that the Lord was here with Paul. The angel spoke to him, and God's divine providence was over him, and they were to land on this certain island, and we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, that island was Melita, which I believe is Malta. And I don't want to introduce anything wrong, dear friends, but you know Malta was a very important island in the Second World War, because all that the Germans were seeking with all their weapons and so on to get into Africa, Malta stood alone. Malta stood alone. And that island received the George Cross for their bravery. And I don't want to introduce anything wrong, friends, but think of General William Dobie, who was the chief of that island, whatever he was called, but he was the governor of the island, and he was a very godly man. If you read the account of Malta and the account of General William Dobie, you will find, dear friends, that the Lord had appointed that man. He was a man of prayer. He was a godly man. He was a man of strong character, but he was a man of God. So this island of Melita or Malta was indeed and is a very important island in God's providence. I mention these things as they come to my mind. And also, dear friends, and I don't want to go on in this, but in the last war, there were some godly men at the helm. Admiral Tovey was a very godly man. I think I've read somewhere that he went on his knees in the cabin of the ship and prayed. Oh, what a mercy that we had those godly men. We need them today. We do indeed. We do indeed. But you see, dear friends, this word, you see, it may come into your path. Perhaps that you have taken a wrong step, and everything seemed right to start with, and now things have gone wrong, and things look very black, and you wonder where the scene will end. Oh, may such a word as this be a comfort. Here was this storm, this Euroclydon, that was so severe. We hear of those storms or hurricanes today, but here was this storm, Euroclydon, so destructive, and it would be impossible, naturally speaking, that this ship would ever arrive. But it was all broken up. But the inhabitants, they all came safe to land. But what we want to really bring forth is this: to some poor soul here, that maybe you feel you have taken a wrong step. And maybe we haven't. As I look back in my life, perhaps in our younger days, we did not pray for direction as we should. And perhaps it was something that caused us some fear that we did not go the way that we should have done. And it may be so with some here. And you've come to this, dear friends, that I mentioned a little earlier. And when neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What a dark path it must have been. Neither sun nor stars for many days appeared. The darkness that they were in, the perils that they were in. And dear friends, you know, sometimes there are paths of darkness. You wonder where the sin will end. Everything's so black and dark. But remember this. He says, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And they were cast on a certain island. There was a purpose. Oh, there is a purpose, friends, you know, often in God's dealings. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. It shall be well with them that fear God. But they do come into some dark places, especially if the Lord has a purpose for them to serve him, to follow him. And you know, the enemy of souls will do everything he can to stop this. And, you know, dear friends, so these things can come into the path. I only speak this as I am led, I hope, as I, when I had this word dinner time, I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. But you see, dear friends, there's a point in all these things. The unlading of the ship, the throwing out of the wheat, the precious cargo, it all had to go. And so it is, dear friends, with those who fear God, all their self-righteousness, their pride, their independence, sometimes their plans, they all go. And as I quoted that word of Top Lady, sung on Friday, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It brings a soul to Jesus. It brought them to God. And you know, Paul was to be made, as it were, an ambassador for Christ, a preacher on the ship. To be a witness for Christ. Now, so he says, he cheers them. Oh, they were in great need. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Oh, the spiritual courage that was given to Paul here. He's not ashamed to own his Lord in front of these prisoners and so on. And then they were all a good cheer. And they also took some meat and were all in the ship, 213 souls. He was to be a witness for Christ. As I said later on, he spent 2 whole years preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus and so on, with all confidence, no man forbidding him, and thinking naturally, if this ship had gone down, well, the ship did go down, really, but if they lost their lives, that it seemed so very much, then these purposes of God would never have been fulfilled. Oh, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And this account here is for a purpose. It's to show God's power. It's to show the power of God in providence and in grace. And Paul, they never thought of landing on the island Melita. Howbeit, they must be cast upon a certain island. That is, there is a certain place, perhaps, where you've got to worship, we said this morning, a certain place where you've got to live and so on, and you come into some dark places because everything seems to go wrong. When neither stars nor sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We tried to speak this morning, dear friends, of a good hope. We tried to speak of being raised to a little hope, and then to have a good hope through grace. But here we have that which is a spiritual experience. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. And that is the way the Lord often answers prayer. As I think it is John Newton that pens at him, and I think it is 295, I ask the Lord that I might grow in grace and so on, and seek more earnestly his face. And I thought that in some favoured hour once he would answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden dangers of my heart, and I can't get it quite right, but it affected his soul in every part, yes. And if we sing that hymn, dear friends, of John Newton. And John Newton, you read his account, he was a slave trader, and he had many voyages, and I think it was on one particular voyage that all hope that they should be saved was lost. And if you read about it, they were pumping the water out as the water flowed in and so on. And I think it was there that Newton was brought face to face with death, and brought to that place where he would never come out of. But you see, he was raised up, wasn't he? He was raised up. He was raised up to be a godly minister of Jesus Christ in the Church of England. Oh, that we had more men, or any men, such as Newton. And then, of course, we have many of his hymns. Oh, the wonders of God's grace. And we think of Paul here, one who was serving Satan, haling men and women to prison, and going about that. He was one who witnessed Stephen's death. He stood by there holding his clothes. He witnessed all this, and he was still seemingly a lost sinner. But you read, dear friends, in the next chapter, when he was on his way to Damascus, the Lord stopped him. And from that time, he left from serving Satan to serving God. Oh, how it sets forth, dear friends, the wonders of his grace. But if you are favoured to think perhaps of your own past, to think of the wonders of his grace. Yes, you may have been still going to chapel. You may feel the Lord, but you do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not yet aware of your sinnership. And I believe, dear friends, that perhaps this account here would set forth in a spiritual voyage. We find, do we not, that everything was cast out, and the ship was broken up, and yet they all safely came to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Not a hoof shall be left behind. It was Mrs. Jethro West, I think, the eldest of that large family, of the Hook family, I think it was, who had that word concerning the family, not a hoof shall be left behind. What a mercy, dear friends, it is, even in a family, not a hoof shall be left behind. All must come to pass as God has said this day. Oh, the wonders of grace. We think of our dear friend Obidan and how he was brought up as a babe here and worshipped here all his life apart from the time when he was in the war and was preserved. But for all that time he worshipped here. Now, friends, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be helped of God. To be loyal. Oh, today we live in a society where there is lacking loyalty. But you know, loyalty is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. You think of Ruth, godly Ruth, as she would cling to Naomi. Loyalty. All in God's purpose. We read Ruth and see God's providence and God's purpose there. And you know that wonderful word in the first chapter, where she would die with her and be buried with her and so on. And her God would be her God. It was all God's word, all God's work. She was taken out of a heathen land and brought to know and come unto the gospel of truth. And we know the outcome, that she was brought into the field and there Boaz was kind to her, and eventually they married, and they had that little child Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And out of that line came the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonders of God's grace. But beloved friends, have we seen it in our own past? Or you may think this is something so insignificant in your path. But my friends, nothing is insignificant with God. He knows every one of his dear people, and he will bring them home safe at last. But you see, dear friends, this chapter, oh, it speaks of so many things. So it may be some here today, you need the gospel. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Oh, the good cheer in the gospel. Even Jesus said, didn't he, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. And dear friends, you know, we need to overcome the world, don't we? Because we can be overcome by the world. There's so much in the world to take our affections, isn't it? We need to be weaned from the world. It's hard work. We need to be weaned from the world. But that's God's work. So, again, I say, we have this word there. Now, I thought you'd be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. And things may be very dark now. You've come into a path, poor soul, where everything seems dark and you wonder where the thing will end, and God has given you an exercise perhaps to serve him or whatever it is, and it all goes into the deep. And it brings you almost to despair. But you see, God works in that mysterious way. His wonders to perform. It's all to bring us sick of self and fond of him. Dear Mr. Ashby, Mr. Stanley Ashby, he had a very bad flu, and he was very unwell. And I said to him, I was quite young then, and I said to him, how are you? He said, sick of self and fond of him. And there was that hymn, I think, that he quoted. Sick of self and fond of him. If today he deigns to bless us, he said, with a sense of pardoned sin, perhaps tomorrow he'll distress us, make us feel the plague within, or to make us sick of self and fond of him. See, these are the ways of God. And dear friends, oft his ways are past finding out. So this chapter probably has been a speaking voice to many who have been in these dark places, and I don't want to be repetitive, dear friends, but what does it mean perhaps to you? Perhaps there's somebody here or others today who have taken a step. Everything seemed went well, and then things seem to go wrong, and you're brought into a place of great need. As Newton said in the hymn, and he brought me to a place nigh unto despair. But you see, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh, he does. When I was in hospital some years ago and had a heart attack, I think it was 1986 or something like that, or that short psalm of 93 was a blessing to me. I may just find it, dear friends, as it comes to my mind. It's a short psalm about there is so much in it. It was indeed to me. I said to my sons, I said, you go home and read that psalm. I just quote a bit here. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the voice of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. You see, the Lord reigneth. He sitteth upon the flood. He sitteth king forever. One says in their hymn, reign o'er us as king, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee, we Lord, thy great name ascribe in the glory to God and the Lamb. Oh, the wonders of his grace, the wonders of his grace. And as we read at the end, and they all escaped, and they all came to pass, and they all escaped all the land. Oh, how it seems to set forth that land above. Oh, dear friends, may the Lord bless a few remarks here this afternoon, a few broken sentences, but may they be applied by the Lord. Fear not, Paul. He had a fear not. And perhaps some of you have had a fear not. We have that particular one, that particular word in Isaiah chapter 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Oh yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my right. We need all those promises, friends. We need his help. We need his strength. We need to be upheld by that glorious righteousness. Fear not, Worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, and so on. All these fear nots that we have here in the Word of God. And amidst this storm that would have destroyed the whole lot, the angel of God stood by him. Whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it should be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. What a solemn responsibility here was upon Paul. And yet he was a real witness. He was a real witness for the truth, dear friends, the truth of the gospel. Oh, these fear nots. Fear not, I am with thee. And be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's a very important word, isn't it, friends? For I am thy God. I will help thee. We are taught, friends, you know, our helplessness. The condition here was helplessness. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee. You know, dear friends, some of you may be feeling so much your weakness. As you know, so often we have heard and been reminded of the thorn in the flesh that Paul had, as we have in the in Corinthians. The second in Corinthians, I think it is 13, you know that word well. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And for this he sought three times that the Lord would remove him. Have you got that thorn in the flesh? Have you had that thorn in the flesh? Does it buffet you? And yet the Lord hasn't yet removed it. He can remove it, you know. He can remove it. But it was necessary that Paul should have this. Why? It was there that he would be able to speak of those things that he had tasted, handled, and felt. He said, when I am weak, then am I strong. It was then that the power of Christ rested upon him. And beloved friends, I do know one thing, but we cannot give us the power of Christ. We cannot give us that power. Always remember the late Mr. Woodcraft preaching here one Thursday evening, and something he said was this. He said, we cannot get the Holy Spirit, he must give it. And one thing that we feel today is so lacking, and I feel it myself, the power of the word, the application of the word, the power. Where is the power today? Well, all power belongs unto God. We have that word, don't we? All power belongeth unto God. Here, Paul and those with him were absolutely dependent upon God's providence and God's grace. Well, I hope these words may be of some purpose here this afternoon. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you out of the ship. It speaks, dear friends, of the safety of our immortal souls. You're safe in your Redeemer's hand, who bears your name upon his heart. They all were landed on this island, Melita. They were safe. And safety is of the Lord. Our dear friend, Aubrey Dan, we believe, and others we know of, have long gone to their to heaven. They're safe at last. How will it be with us, dear friends? What about your family and others? What about our own soul? Where shall we be? Is it our concern? Is it their exercise? I'm sure it is with many here that you want to be right at last and you can do nothing about it. It's entirely according to God's grace and mercy. If, dear friends, we are found above with the saints above, it is through his grace and by grace only. This Paul was very clear on when he wrote to the Ephesians, for he said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he says, but we are his workmanship, created unto God, unto good works, that God should be glorified. And that is where the distinction is between being saved by good works and being saved by grace of those who are created unto good works by the Lord. Oh, what a difference there is. What need there is, dear friends, of clear gospel thinking, of clear truth to be revealed to us. And we would be thankful that we believe, and I'm not setting up our denomination wrongly, but I do believe, dear friends, we do have the gospel. We do have the truth. We do believe the word of God in all its entirety. And what a mercy it is to be favored to sit under a faithful ministry and to being able to receive the truth as it is in Jesus, believing that this is the truth that we hope to live on and we hope to die on. For it shall be well with them that fear God. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with them. It is well with them when called to die. It is well them while they live here. It is well when called to die. It is well with the righteous. Friends, you know, this is our great concern, to be right with God when that time comes. Because it will be for ever and ever. For eternity. Well, these are but a few words that I've tried to speak this afternoon, friends. But we believe that this is the truth as it is in Jesus, that this account here of this voyage and all what happened and the outcome of it was God's divine providence, is God's word. And I believe that the truth is to be found in it in many ways. We've only just touched upon a few things, but may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.